Hello everyone, welcome to the Final Play podcast. This week we're talking about week 11 of NFL. I think there's some sort of news that came out of week 11, but I'm not really sure.
What happened? Was there something that happened in earlier in the week? I don't know. I'm not sure. I've got something written down here that happened in that Thursday night game, but I'm not sure what all the hoopla is about.
We'll talk about our studs of the week, because I'm not going to say dud, because this is, we'll work out who the dud is pretty much this whole episode. But yeah, everything easy. NFL related. I don't have a dud. That is my dud. But we'll go over the scores for everybody. The Thursday night game, the Browns pretty convincingly beat the Steelers 21-7. The Cowboys.
They mauled the Steelers.
They did maul the Steelers. Cowboys getting out of the Lions 35-27. Dak went just crazy in that game. The Colts beating the Jags 33-13. The Bills are getting over the Dolphins, still competing the Dolphins, 37-20. The Vikings.
All is right with the world. The two game win streak's over.
The Vikings beating the Broncos 27-23. The Saints beating the Buccaneers 34-17. The Jets beating the Deadskins 34-17. The Falcons beating the Panthers. Falcons on a streak 29-3. The Ravens absolutely obliterating the Texans 41-7. The 49ers.
Insane.
49ers beating the Cards 36-26. The Raiders beating the Bengals 17-10. The Pats getting over the Eagles 17-10. The Rams getting over the Bears in probably the worst game I've seen all year, 17-7. And the Monday night game.
That smelled really, really bad.
It was a terrible game to watch. And the Chiefs getting over the Chargers 24-17 in the Monday night game. I don't know where to start.
Where do you want to start? Right. Like, I think there's
let's start with a talking point. Let's start with the Thursday night game. Let's just get it out of the way. Offensively, it wasn't a great offensive game by Cleveland Browns. That nothing really, I guess, stood out to me offensively except for Nick Chubb doing Nick Chubb things and getting 92 yards. But offensively, it was a pretty dire game, I thought.
Yeah, no, it was definitely a typical Thursday night ordinary game. Like you said, you know, the Browns, you know, okay, they scored three touchdowns, but it's they weren't terrific, and yeah, the Browns defensively just absolutely just dominated the Steelers offensive line. Like they just got whatever they want, however they wanted it. Rudolph was just under so much pressure in that game. He ends up throwing four interceptions.
Yeah,
and
got sacked four times, I think.
The only reason that the Steelers got a touchdown in that game was the drive that they actually had the touchdown on was a result of four penalties on the Browns' defense.
Yeah,
and it got them into scoring position, and the Steelers got their only touchdown of the game. But it was just oof. Yeah, like I said, you know, it wasn't the most aesthetically pleasing game to watch until the last 8 seconds.
Was it 8 seconds? I was trying to work out how much time left. Yeah, it was very close to finishing.
There was eight ticks left on the clock.
Yep, you go ahead. You say what happened.
All hell broke loose. Miles Garrett just bust through the line again like he had been doing all night.
And Miles Garrett, before all this, I mean, I'm not defending the guy, but Miles Garrett was playing pro ball. Miles Garrett, he's been playing so good this year, which is unfortunate, but yeah, he's obliterated through the line. Mason Rudolph got the ball away. I mean, I've seen it 1,000 times, but Mason Rudolph got the ball away. I think Miles Garrett's probably held him a little bit too long. Did you think? Just probably that little bit too long.
He hit him. I didn't think it was late.
The hit was a lie. I just think he held on too long.
Everybody in the NFL community saying that it's late. I didn't think it was late, but he sort of wrestled him to the ground.
Sort of
pushed him to the ground, sort of, with an aggressive manner. Like, it wasn't, I didn't think there was anything too nasty about it. But, you know, Rudolph had just been smashed that whole game. So, and he sort of, like you said, there's only 8 seconds left. There was a little bit of force to it. Yeah. There's a little bit of sort of toing and froing on the ground. You know, I believe Mason Rudolph was trying to push Myles Garrett off him. He was aggressive in trying to push him off. You see Myles Garrett's helmet move a little bit. And then he just snapped. You know, there's two Steelers offensive linemen trying to hold him back, trying to hold him off, and Garrett just which not a good look. He's ripping at Mason Rudolph's helmet, rips it off. And then the same two offensive linemen for the Steelers are trying to hold him back. Rudolph comes charging at Myles Garrett again, and he just takes a swing and then donks him on the head with the helmet.
And hit him too. Like, it wasn't...
got him flush on the top of the head.
Got him very flush on top of the head. And I'm surprised, like, Mason Rudolph kept going. He didn't it didn't seem to deter him, but man,
it's a big target though. Like, let's be honest. Like, Rudolph's head's a big target, so he could have swung it in any vicinity and it would have hit him. So
this is true. Yeah, this is true. But this is a 260-pound guy pretty much throwing swinging a bowling ball sized helmet at a guy's head. But so he snapped, and then it just obviously it's deteriorated from there. I can't believe they still finished that game, by the way. I know that that's the whole rules and everything, but they finished the game. They had to get the melee off and all that, blah 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 blah.
No, that's the ejection happened,
They
still had to get those 8 ticks off the clock.
Now, I think, from that sort of melee and then the aftermath, it wasn't great from the Phoenix player. I think it was Marquise Pouncey.
Marquise Pouncey. After the helmet swing, he sort of lost it a little bit, he's defending his quarterback, and he comes in, punching, tackles him to the ground, tries to kick him. Like that, that's not a good look. Yeah, he's lucky he missed.
Yeah, he is lucky he's missed. He's sort of got, I guess someone sort of got in between it. But then Larry Ogunjobi, for some reason, come from behind and shoved Mason Rudolph for no apparent reason.
Pushed him in the back. Pushed him in the back.
But
that's all that was. He just come up. He pushed. He didn't want any part of what was happening to Myles Garrett, who was just getting the crap beat out of him on the ground. Until they could sort of get everyone separated, and he comes up from behind and pushes Mason Rudolph from behind, and you can see Mason Rudolph as he's on the ground mouth the word bitch to him, which is that's what it was. That was a bit of it. That's such a weak move. If you're concerned about Myles Garrett on the ground, then go and try and rip those 200-300 pounders off him. Oh no, I'll just come up. And I'll push Mason Rudolph, who's not even looking at me, and I'll just come up and I'll just push him from behind. Like, that's such a weak move. Out of all of it, I think that's one of the weaker moves of that whole thing that happened. Like, that's rubbish.
And the reason, it's come out, and we're recording this the following Friday, but it's come out that Myles Garrett is now all of a sudden saying, even though he had the chance to say it after the game, what happened? He said, I'm not going to comment, but you look at the footage. It's come out and call it a racial slur that's triggered him, I guess, so to speak. The reason I don't think, there's a lot of reasons why, but the main reason I don't think there was a racial slur because I believe one of those 300 pounders was a black guy that sort of then went after Myles Garrett after him, Mason got hit. I'm sure there was a black guy there.
That's a complete and utter fallacy that there was a racial slur in there because all you have to do straight after it, he had multiple times to get in front of cameras and get in front of the media and say,
well, he was.
This is
he was
why
in front
I snapped.
Of 15 cameras then. And they all
he
got
was,
him.
He was extremely remorseful after the game.
Yeah.
But that's, I mean, if that's what's inside of him, then say it there.
That's
don't
right.
Don't pussyfoot around it. Don't come out a week later after you've already had your meetings with the NFL to try and get your suspension reduced. Don't come out a week later and say, he said a racial slur to me. That's rubbish.
It is.
Like, don't make this about race. Don't bring that stupid crap into it. If it happened, say it then. When you say it a week later, people are going to start to question you and say, that's rubbish.
There's not, I mean, obviously we're not on the field, but it didn't seem there was anything to do with race. I think just at the end of the day, it was just two guys. One of the guys just snapped fighting on the field. Like, this happens in NFL, obviously not to this extreme, but there's no color thing in this. That's just ridiculous. No,
it's just, that's what I mean. But if it did happen, say it straight away. Don't wait a week.
Yeah.
People are doing what we're doing and questioning the validity.
That's exactly
of
right.
what's happened. Like, just say it there and then. And then people will go, oh, well, okay, that's why he's reacted this way. Don't wait a week.
He's been suspended.
It's crazy.
He's been suspended indefinitely. I've seen obviously after this, I've looked back at other sort of violent hits that people have been ejected from. But, I believe he should be suspended definitely for the year. I don't think he needs to be suspended past the year. Personally, I don't know what
probably
you think,
not,
but
no.
I think the year should be enough.
I think it's convenient that there's six games left in the year. Like, it'd be interesting to see what the NFL's response was if this happened, say, 3 weeks ago. You know, would the rest of the season, would have been 9-week suspension. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think it's extremely convenient that there is 6 weeks left or six games left, and they can just say, right, you know, that this is a fairly extreme penalty. Marquise Pouncey had 3 weeks, and that's been reduced to two. And Ogunjobi has got the 1 week, and obviously nothing for Mason Rudolph. No fine, no nothing. So,
and the NFL,
but it's just to
like,
me,
they,
it's just
they would have done,
convenient
they would have done
that,
their due diligence. Yeah.
Oh, of course.
You can't tell me.
Yeah,
also,
usually the NFL.
There's 1,000 microphones on that field. So surely, I mean, probably not everybody has a microphone, but there's 1,000 microphones on that field during the game.
You don't know what happens on the field. You can't hear everything, but it's, I mean, if it happened, say it straight away. Like, don't come out a week later, because when you come out a week later, it sounds like it's a bunch of crap.
It does. We'll move on from that game. The next game, my boys, the Dem boys, I should say, the Dallas Cowboys, 35-27 over the Lions.
Not be having the Lions with Jeff Driscoll at quarterback score 27 points on them. They just shouldn't.
And that is still their problem. Offensively,
and the Lions had the lead early as well.
Yeah, they did. Amendola came out of nowhere. Like, I didn't realize he was actually on the Detroit Lions until I watched this game. I didn't realize.
It took 10 weeks to know that Danny Amendola had gone from Miami to Detroit.
Yeah, I did. I literally did. I forgot about him. I didn't realize he was on there until he started playing. But you're right. Their defensive. I mean, they have to me one of the best defensive teams in the NFL. But defensively,
they're not living up to the feeling at the moment.
No, they're letting people pour points on them. And you're right. You know, a Jeff Driscoll shouldn't be putting 27 points on them.
Imagine what the Lions would be doing if they had Matt Stafford.
We would have lost. If Matt Stafford was there, we'd have lost. But this is obviously the year of
the Lions,
second string quarterbacks. But
No, that's right. But the Lions are sort of offensively challenged as well. You know, they haven't got Kerryon Johnson. You know, they've lost a lot. You know, in their running game, I think they're on their third and fourth string running back as well. So just Marvin Jones. Marvin Jones is great, but he's a secondary receiver. Yeah, so is Amendola. Yeah, they're not your essential number one receivers. But they've found a way to be competitive and stay in that game. You know, if it wasn't and Amari Cooper wasn't 100% healthy in that game, if it wasn't for for Randall Cobb and Michael Gallup, they're having trouble against Detroit.
And I mean they got the Pats this week. They defensively have a lot more to do. Like they're not. Yes, they're on top of the division now, thanks to the Pats beating the Eagles. But man, they don't have the greatest running towards the playoffs. I'll be surprised that they'll hold the top place in their division.
They should still win the division. I think it'll be a tight race between them and the Eagles. So you'd think they should still, if they click and get everything going. Then the Dallas Cowboys shouldn't have too much trouble. That's right. It's defensively that they're having a lot of trouble lately. And if next week the Pats offense clicks, oh boy, they could be in for a lot of trouble.
Yeah, we will be.
Tom Brady hasn't been terrific lately. He's been getting hit a lot lately. He got hit a lot in that game against Philly. Like both quarterbacks in that Philly. New England game got hit a lot. They were on the ground plenty. You know, whether it was sacks, whether it was hits after they'd gotten rid of the ball. That was another one of those sort of hit them down, grind them out sort of games for New England. And and then no Alshon Jeffrey as well for the Eagles. So that doesn't help them. Yeah, it was a cold, windy night too. Woof, the weather conditions there were pretty ordinary. So I think that didn't help that game as well. Like Tom Brady had no TD passes. Julian Edelman had the touchdown pass.
Yeah, he did. It was
a crazy play. And the thing was, it come down to the final minute.
Yeah.
You know, with Philadelphia on a 4th and 10, and Aguilar had a chance to catch that ball in the end zone. And if he catches that and they make the extra point, it's 17-all.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That was the thing, I guess, with that game I noticed, just Tom Brady's, I guess not being Tom Brady. That's pretty much just not much other thing to say.
They're banged up a bit on the offensive line. So if you can't protect Brady, then that's right. You know, and Carson Wentz was 20 for 39 as well. So that's a click over 50%. Like that's not good enough. That's just not good enough. And I get it. You know, weather conditions come into it, but they probably should have relied a little bit more on the run game. And Philadelphia don't have the greatest run game in the world.
No, they don't. The Ravens. I thought it was going to be a great competitive game against two running quarterbacks, but man, Lamar Jackson, that guy
they dismantled the Texans. Like they made the Texans look like the Bengals.
They did make them. I mean, Lamar didn't have. I mean, sorry, he ran very well. Like it's just Lamar Jackson ran very well, but the thing that the passing game. Yeah, he only got 222 yards, but he only was 17 out of 24 attempts. So his rating was through the roof. It was absolutely ridiculous how well he played.
No, that's right. Well, Watson got beat down. He got sacked seven times. I think he got hit 10 times.
Yeah.
And that's a part of it as well, too. Like the Texans just, they cannot afford Deshaun Deshaun Watson to be getting hit that much. You just can't.
Which has happened year in, year out. And they tried to.
He was 18 for 29, 169 yards. Yeah. Like the Ravens had more rushing yards than what the Texans had total offensive yards in that game.
Yeah, and the first time I think it was like a year or so, I read that Lamar wasn't the leading rusher for his team. Gus Edwards.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he had a couple of big plays.
Yeah, 112 yards. But I think that was the first time in like a year or so that Lamar Jackson wasn't the leading rusher in his team, which is crazy. You know, when you've got Mark Ingram there.
Which isn't saying much, too. Yeah, that's right. You got Mark Ingram there. So, that's
yeah, I know. That's insane. But it's insane. What do you say with Lamar Jackson? Is he MVP-ish at the moment? They're 8-2. No one thought they'll be 8-2. Is he MVP-ish at the moment?
See, we can talk about the MVP in this because, you know, it's week 11. We've had a really good sample size.
That's exactly right.
I think he's up there. I think you've also got to consider Russell Wilson as well. Patrick Mahomes has had a few games off now, so everyone's forgotten how good he can be. Once he's sort of back and healthy, you know, obviously he'll come into the conversation. Christian McCaffrey is carrying the Panthers.
Yeah,
and still playing really well. And well, you know, on the Monday game, I thought Booger McFarlane sort of come up with one like totally out of left field. And the only reason I'm saying it is because he said Michael Thomas from the Saints.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, okay, like there's just no way in hell that a wide receiver is gonna get MVP consideration. But he has been, you know, even with Bridgewater in there, but he's got the most receptions in the league. He's already at 90 plus receptions for the season. Yeah. You know, there's no way in hell that he's going to get even consideration, but I just thought it was strange that, yeah, Booger McFarlane sort of come out on the Monday night game and sort of plugged Michael Thomas to be there or thereabouts in the MVP conversation. That's just, yeah.
Deserving. Like, cause he had two games off or one game off? I felt like he's had two.
Who's that?
Michael Thomas. He's had two games off or one
he hasn't,
game?
No, he hasn't. Well, they had the bye, but he hasn't missed.
Has he missed a game?
Has he missed a game this year?
I thought he missed a game this year.
Kamara's missed a few games. I think he's been their only consistent one.
Okay, I just thought he might have missed a game, being purely because I haven't really, up until this week, I should say, haven't heard much about, you know, I guess how good Michael Thomas is, but just like an MVP candidacy. I mean, Michael Thomas is just Michael
Thomas.
That's right,
and that's the lofty standards that he sets, that he's just doing. He's just doing what Michael Thomas does, and it doesn't matter who's throwing in the ball, whether it was Teddy Bridgewater, whether, you know, now that Drew Brees is back, whether it's Taysom Hill, you know, it's Michael Thomas is just doing Michael Thomas things, and you could possibly put him in there. It's just as one of the best receivers in the game, you generally don't hear that much about him, and I think purely the fact that because he is in New Orleans. You always hear about DeAndre Hopkins and Julio Jones and Jarvis Landry, even though he's not playing that terrifically either. But, you know, and Odell Beckham Jr. and those sorts of guys as the top receivers in the game. And then you know, on the odd occasion, you might hear Michael Thomas's name, but he just continually puts up numbers.
He does. And it's you're right. I think it just doesn't stand out that much because you don't really hear his name that much, but it's probably because he's so consistent. That's sort of the thing. Why I was sort of questioning it, but there was one more game that really stood out for me. That was it stood out to me because it was the Falcons beating the Panthers 29-3. Like, I just, it really stood out to me because it seems like, they've strung two wins together, and it seems like the Falcons of what the how we think the Falcons should be.
Well, the Falcons offensively shouldn't have any troubles at all, as long as they can keep Matt Ryan protected. No. They have got the goods. Okay, Devontae Freeman's hurt again. They don't have the safety blanket there like they've had in previous years in Tevin Coleman, where they can just replace him straight away, and they're not going to miss too much of a beat when it comes to the running game. But when you've got two receivers in Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones. They really shouldn't have too many problems offensively. It's been their defense that's been pretty terrible this year, but defensively the last two games, they've only had 12 points put on them. They haven't had a touchdown put on them, 4 field goals. That's it.
I think I like that game because they really worked out how to shut Christian McCaffrey down in that game. You know, but the way he's been playing this year, he only got 70 yards in that game, which is still great. But, you know, the way he's been playing this year, it's kind of not that good, to be honest. But his receiving yards are still crazy. But, yeah, they just found a way to shut him down. So it was really they're not going to make it, and they're not going to go anywhere. But they're not going to catch the Panthers in terms of that NFC South rankings. I mean, New Orleans.
You wouldn't think so.
But they're 5-5 against 3-7, so you wouldn't think so. Like, there's no one's catching New Orleans in that sort of NFC South. Looking at that group, like, New Orleans don't really have any. They're like the Patriots. They don't really have any competition. Unfortunately,
not in the division, not really. Like, especially over the last couple of years, like, they've got that. There's teams in the division that can get the job done, but yeah, over the last 3 years, New Orleans has just stamped their authority all over the NFC South.
Was there any other games that you wanted to touch on before moving on to news?
I thought the big comeback by the Vikings against the Broncos. Was a pretty wild game. They were down 20 in the hole. Yeah. And they had that. They ended up outscoring Denver 20 points to nothing in the fourth quarter. So there's another person that they mentioned in that MVP race is Kirk Cousins. He's been playing great. Well, apart from the first couple of games at the start of the year where he wasn't really, they were relying heavily on Dalvin Cook, but now they're starting to get everybody else sort of involved. You know, once they had that little bit of a stink at the start of the year where with Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen they're not getting as much ball as what they thought that they could. You know, Diggs only had 5 receptions, but he had 121 yards and a touchdown. They're finally getting Rudolph, the tight end, involved in the game. He had 5 receptions, 67 yards, and he's had like 27 touchdowns in the last 3 weeks. He's actually playing well.
They surprised me. They shouldn't have been that far down against the Denver Broncos anyways. They did well to come back, especially in their fourth quarter. But they surprised me, like, because I think in the first 1 or 2 weeks, I wrote them off really quickly because I thought, I think it might have been the third week. I think they were 1-3 or 0-3, and they were going nowhere. But you know, for them to be 8-3 at the moment, they're a team that no one's really talking about. But they're obviously going to sort of, I guess, fight, for that. Well, they should win their division, but at least fight for that sort of championship.
Well, that's me. They're in the same division as the Packers in the NFC North, so. Yeah. You know, they're a top contender for the wild card. So I think it's them and the Seahawks that are in the, then they're in the two wild card spots in the NFC at the moment.
Which is absolutely crazy.
You know, even though it's right, it's 7-3 and you're only in a wild card spot. Yeah. So yeah, that just goes to show that the NFC is the NFC, she's a tough conference.
Yeah, the NFC is a tough conference, especially that NFC North. You know, you've got the Packers, the Vikings, the Bears, and the Lions. So they're all not.
Well, that's right. Yeah, and the Lions are competitive. They're not winning games. You know, the Bears. No. You know, the Bears are the Bears. That was such a bad game to watch. Do you buy, just as if we want to sort of segue into that game? But no, the only reason I sort of want to talk about it a little bit is do you buy the whole, you know, Matt Nagy taking Trubisky out because he had a supposed hip injury, or did he get the hook?
Nah, I believe they're just looking at him the way they were talking to each other, the way Nagy embraced him. Nah, he got hooked. That's how I took it. It's funny listening to a couple of podcasts about it. I think they reckon Nagy, you know, whispered in his ear, you know, there's plenty. You'll be the headliner in the XFL.
That's brilliant.
It is brilliant. I never really liked Mitch Trubisky. Like, I think he kept playing and he had that sort of consistency. That's why no one talked about dropping him. But unfortunately, there was, you know, two quarterbacks that went after him that everyone's talking about, Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson.
The Bears organization looks like they are just going to ride or die with Trubisky. They're going to die on that hill. That Trubisky is our guy. We traded up to get him. We are going to absolutely make him our guy. And it's just, He was 1 year as the full time starter at North Carolina.
That's right.
He was there three years, but he'd only had like 11 starts before he come into the NFL, and there was questions about him, and that's why it was such a massive news that the Bears, I don't know who the hell they thought was going to trade up and take Trubisky, but or who was going to take them a two, but they traded up that one spot because that they thought that that was their guy.
Well, and then I remember that sort of draft because I thought they end up sort of pushing him that he's going to be their guy, but I thought at the start they were talking about Deshaun Watson. That's who everybody's guy was.
That was who everyone was talking about in that year's draft class. Like, not too many people were sort of talking about Patrick Mahomes. And even though Kansas City traded up to get him because Andy Reid supposedly had seen something in him. But all the talk with that quarterback class was Deshaun Watson.
I don't buy it. I believe... they'll ride the year out with him. So they're 4-6, so they're not like the worst team in the NFL. But
they're just not playing up to what everybody everybody's saying. They got a Super Bowl caliber defense.
They do have a Super Bowl caliber defense. Yeah, that's the problem.
They're just so inept on the offensive end. They just can't get anything going. Three and out after three and out. Punt.
Ooh, name.
Interception. Punt.
The problem is, like, and you're right, that offensively, it's just a dumpster fire. Like, you probably name a running back, but you name a receiver from their team that, you know, stands out to you. No one stands out to me.
No, that's right. They don't have the best weapons at all. Like, you know, they got Tariq Cohen, who's sort of a multifaceted guy that sort of catches the ball, but they've essentially relegated him to being punt returner at the moment. It's crazy that they haven't got the greatest weapons to sort of to throw to, and they wonder why they don't have a true number one. Yeah, they lost Jordan Howard. Yeah, they got David Montgomery who's their rookie running back, they're sort of getting some pass catching out of him, but there's not much to throw to.
No, there's not much to throw to. Unfortunately, but then even if there wasn't, like, you know, you see certain certain quarterbacks that don't have much to throw to, like Jacoby Brissett. Well, sorry, he's got T.Y. Hilton, but I guess certain quarterbacks that don't, yeah, well, that's right. Certain quarterbacks that don't have much to throw that are still getting it done. I think it also depends on
your offensive line as well. If you can protect the quarterback, then most of these, you know, starters and some backups can still get you the job done if they're untouched in the pocket.
Yeah, I think he's done. I think they'll get to a point during this season where they realize they can't make it. And I think they'll
be back to Chase Daniels,
which is fine. I think they need to try something else, Chicago Bears. News sort of coming out of last week that caught your eye, except for obviously the main news, but. I mean,
That game as well, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster got, you know, was out through concussion, and James Conner hurt his shoulder again in that game. So, you know, that killed any real chance of the Steelers actually winning that game. So there's grave concerns that both of those guys won't play next week. So that's really going to hurt Pittsburgh in the coming week.
Everything I'm reading, James Conner looks like he'll be out. Juju's probably still day to day, but I think James Conner doesn't. You know, well, you've got Jalen Samuels there. I think they're going to play Jalen Samuels.
Yeah, that's probably the only way really to go. So Matthews, yeah, like we talked before, you know, Jeff Driscoll stepping in for Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford's done for the season. He's got fractures in his back, so he's essentially done for the season because it doesn't look like the Lions will make the playoffs. So it's going to be Jeff Driscoll for the rest of the season. So, you know, the injuries, you know, like we say always, you know, the injuries pile up. It's football. People get hurt,
especially quarterbacks this year.
Well, no, that's right. And the other one too, you know, Marlon Mack has got a fractured hand, so he's had surgery, so he's going to be out for a few weeks now too. So, you know, Indianapolis look like that. You know, they've got the Thursday night game this coming week against the Texans. So that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out to see who's going to actually win that division. So without Marlon Mack, that could hurt them a lot.
So news that sort of stood out to you this week?
I think besides the injuries and everything, I think the only really sort of big news that's that come out of this week and the weekend was the Colin Kaepernick bit of a fiasco workout that happened in Atlanta.
Now, okay, so what did you think of that? Was it a PR stunt? Because that's how
100%, 100%.
That's what I thought.
100%.
That's how I thought.
It's the NFL set this up and everything, and then all of a sudden half an hour before the workout, it's like, oh no, we're not going to be at the Falcons training facility. We're going to go to a high school that's on the south side of Atlanta. By the way, I've still got all my crew and everything here. I've got a Nike crew here. I've got a film crew here. I've got people wearing T-shirts with, you know, not so terrific things written on them. That sort of, yeah, that sort of take shots at people. So that was 100% planned. I believe that was 100% planned by Colin Kaepernick, and that's essentially shot him now. Like nobody's. Nobody's going to give him a job now. Like, you know, listening to, you know, as we're recording this sort of later on in the week, listening to Stephen A. last night, he took some shots at Kaepernick and what, you know, what this has done for him and the league. It's such a straight. There's some teams out there that could use him,
but
I think Cincinnati and Washington could 100% use Colin Kaepernick.
Oh, big time. Especially Cincinnati.
Chicago could use him.
Chicago could definitely use him. Backing onto what Stephen A. I listened to that sort of same little bits that he was talking about with Kaepernick. It felt like a PR stunt. I don't know if he organized it or it seemed very Nike-esque, if that makes sense. It didn't look good for him. I don't even know why the NFL got mixed into it, to be completely honest. It seems silly. Like, it's halfway through the season, you know, and he said, if you want to come and watch me, you know, why are we talking about that? It's weird that the NFL even came out and said something like that. I just don't get it.
But they don't do that, you know. If he's had equal opportunity and 32 teams have had the chance to sign him and they haven't, why did the NFL set this up? You know, they're trying to be transparent enough to say, look, we're going to give you this opportunity to go out there, show us your stuff. It's going to be recorded, and then we're going to give it out to all 32 teams, and they're going to have the opportunity to sign you. We're going to give you this chance.
And for him to just go
basically out there and just like, and essentially just crap all over that. And go, oh no, you know what? Yeah, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do things my way. It just doesn't look like that he was serious on getting a job back with the NFL.
No, I think he's done his dash big time. I think that's tarnished. I guess any chance of him coming back.
I think so.
Nobody's done anything for three years.
And every time that there was a backup job that would come up, oh no, or Colin Kaepernick would be able to do this, you know, blah blah blah. And then everybody knows. And the thing was too, like, you know, even if you go back to when he was still actually playing, like his last 11 games, he was 1-10.
Yeah.
And yeah, to say that San Francisco weren't playing that well, but he was 1-10 in his last 11 starts. So people want to bring that up and to say that he still couldn't get the job done. I'm sure he could. I'm sure he's a lot better than some of the backups that are busting around the league at the moment now. But it just didn't look like he was taking this seriously enough.
No, I don't think he was. And I think he's done his dash. You know, that's it. I couldn't see any team taking him seriously enough to sort of put him in a quarterback position.
Not now.
Any other news before we move on to the studs and duds of the week?
No, not really. I thought the bit of a talking point after the Monday night game that was in Mexico was interesting, that the turf was a little chunky there. That didn't look terrific. Like every time somebody would sort of make a cut back on the inside or anything like that, they were tearing up huge chunks of field.
Yeah. It's interesting when they do all these. I think the only one that sort of looks like it when they go to these other sort of places, it always seems Mexico that they have terrible fields, because when they go to London games, Wembley's like obviously going to be well kept after, but they look great. You're right. They look picture perfect, but yeah. I think that happened last year in Mexico too. They had to abort the game.
Yeah, that's right. They had to abort the Chiefs-Rams game last year and take it back to the Coliseum in LA due to the poor field that I think they'd had, like in the weeks leading up to it, they'd had soccer games on there. I think before the actual game, it was like 4 days before it, there was a concert. I can't remember who the concert was, and they couldn't get the field up to standard. It looked like shite. And they had to move that Chiefs Rams game back to LA.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't look good. I mean, why keep the thing, you know, you got to protect the players. Why keep sending going? I know it's PR and I'm sure they pay a lot of money, but why keep sending sort of 76, you know, games there?
76,000 people there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so it's still, decent, you know, people still want to watch it.
No, that's right. It's a decent money spinner.
Yeah,
And they've got to do that because, you know, if it's it's a Chargers home game, the Chargers play in a 27,000-seater stadium that gets half full with the opposition's fans.
That's a decent
money spinner to get 76,000+ people there.
True. Do you have any? Well, look, I guess moving on to I'm not going to talk about duds, but definitely stud of the week. I'm not talking about duds.
We all know who the dud is.
Yeah, right.
There's only one dud. For me, my stud of the week is the Falcons' defense. In the last two games, 12 points, no touchdowns.
Yeah.
All season, they've had two interceptions. All season, they get four against the Panthers. In the last two games, they've had 11 quarterback sacks. You know, they sacked Kyle Allen six times this week. They sacked Drew Brees five times last week. And they've really held their own. Somebody's lit a fire up underneath their ass and they're actually playing well.
Yeah, they are. Like that game, that Panthers game, offensively, like you said, they've always been there. Like they've had the players and Matt Ryan's, you know, always sort of throwing the yards. But defensively, well, that's what's won in the last two games in a row.
They just couldn't stop teams. That was the thing. They just couldn't stop anybody.
My start of the week, finally, first time I've ever picked a Cowboy, was Dak Prescott. Like 444 yards. It's the first time I've ever picked a Cowboy. He was awesome.
He was excellent.
He's been the first quarterback this year to throw 300-400 passing yards out of everybody. He's the first one to throw it.
Is he in the mix for MVP?
Well, I thought you were about to say that, and no, I don't think so. Like he is playing well. The Cowboys are the top offensive team in the league. With a total of 505 yards per game, but he is consistent. But I don't think he's in the mix. I don't believe he should be in the mix. You know, when you've got your Aaron Rodgers, your Deshaun Watson, your Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson, there's three, four quarterbacks already that I could name above him. They just need a better record if he's going to be in that mix for the MVP. Mr. Biscay, Jared Goff. Okay, before we finish up, the ones that recently got signed then? Dak Prescott now is easily now playing for a decent sized contract, and we can work out all the costs sort of later. But the ones that got signed, he now
should be getting some. Yeah, now that he's playing well, he should be getting a nice little chunk of cheddar cheese at the end of the season.
He should be, but the ones that signed at the start of the year, the two, I guess, the quarterbacks came in at the same time. You're Carson Wentz and your Jared Goff. I don't know which way to put it. Who's playing better or who's playing worse?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know. Who's playing worse? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. Like, Jared Goff has just tailed off something fierce in the last month. Like, he's looked shocking. Carson Wentz hasn't been terrific all year, but he sort of... Same with Goff. Yeah, they show the glimpses. But I don't know who's been consistently worse.
I have a very soft spot for Carson Wentz for some reason. I just think he plays better than Goff. Purely because Goff has, you know, 9 million offensive players he could throw to, basically. He could throw to.
But they've been hurt too. Brandon Cooks is hurt. Woods is hurt. So he's... The thing for me that was unforgivable a couple of weeks ago was Cooper Kupp with zero receptions. Like, that's unforgivable for somebody with the talent of Cooper Kupp to get zero receptions. And even this past week, Goff went 11 for 18.
That's 173 exactly yards. Right. That's exactly right. And then you're saying, he got zero receptions last week. Cooper Kupp only got three receptions the week before, but Cooper Kupp only got three from that game. That was it. Yeah,
that's right. It just can't happen. Especially when you're missing players like Woods and Cooks. They should be scheming more to get Gurley more involved in the pass game, to get Cooper Kupp involved more in the pass game. It's just, I don't know what the kid.
The only reason they're staying in those games is purely because of their defensive with Aaron Donald and now Jalen Ramsey there. That is the only reason they're six and four at the moment. You know, and they're
Aaron Donald's going to be running around a lot this coming week because they're going up against the Ravens. So he's going to be puffed if he's going to be chasing Lamar Jackson around.
I think just finishing on that, I think Jalen Ramsey sent out a tweet to Michael Vick saying, "Oi, bro, how do I stop the 2019 version of you? Have you got any tips?" Because Lamar Jackson to me at the moment.
He's a funny dude, Jalen Ramsey.
Jalen Ramsey is a funny dude. He was very angry at the Jacksonville Jaguars, but he's a funny dude. Lamar Jackson. I if they keep playing the way that they're playing, he is the MVP. To me, I think Russell Wilson's tailed off just a little bit. But they have to keep winning, the Baltimore Ravens.
No, that's right. They've got to keep winning the way that they're winning at the moment. So I think, like you said, he's definitely in the mix. He'd be a front runner. I still think for me, obviously the Seahawks had the bye this week, but we'll wait and see what happens in the next in the next couple of weeks and see how well they sort of have a run into the playoffs and see if anybody can stop the scheming for Lamar Jackson.
Well, that'll do it for us for this week. Don't forget to follow us on all the socials. That'll be Facebook, SoundCloud, Twitter. Oh, I forgot to mention it on the last one. Spotify and... I really should be getting an answer back this week about having it on Apple Podcast, I believe.
All right.
Just to throw that out there for Apple.
Why is that taking so long?
I won't say just because I don't want to offend Apple. But I just think...
Let's offend.
No, we don't need to offend Apple. I don't know. I think it's to do with sort of certain little technical difficulties that we don't have yet, but we'll talk about that off podcast, I think.
Right. Let's have a good football weekend and enjoy your NFL this week. And we'll see you next week. Hopefully a little earlier.
Yeah, we'll definitely see you next week a little earlier, because we would love to talk about Miles Garrett for a lot longer. But
We? That'd be great.
Yeah, we will. We'll probably. I guarantee we'll bring him up. We'll bring that situation up next week. I guarantee.
Probably.
Have a good week, everyone.
See you.